about to join us in prayer as we led in prayer by Elder George Washington.
Dear precious Heavenly Father, we again come before you in the sweet, saving name of Jesus Christ. Father, giving you all the praise, all the glory, because it belongs unto thee. And we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you, we edify you. Hallelujah to God, because you are King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the mighty God. Father, you're the one that spoke this universe in existence by the breath of your mouth. And we thank you and praise you that we're part of your creation. Hallelujah to God. Lord, we pray that you bless this radio broadcast as it goes out over the airways. That someone somewhere will be pricked in their hearts, repent, and be baptized. Tarry and receive the blessed Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. Father, we're praying for the apostle in the land today, Anthony J. Patterson. We honor him, praise God. Honor to the elders, the ministers, the deacons, the brothers, the sisters, the mothers, the whole household of faith. We're praying for you. All those that are scattered throughout the world, wherever you might be across the U.S. of A., we're praying for you, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, because your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We thank you for calling us on this high and holy way, praise God. Hallelujah to God. We thank you, Father, because we know that your word will not go out void, but it'll accomplish that which you please, and it'll prosper where you send it. We thank you today, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Hallelujah to God. We thank you for giving us the victory, praise God, in all things. We thank you. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. Hallelujah to God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Again, this is the broadcast of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. The Apostle Anthony Patterson is the Bishop and General Overseer. We invite you to write to Bishop Patterson at Post Office Box 109, Darby, Pennsylvania, 19023. Or call him at area code 610-583-2400. Visit the World Wide Web at theapostolicfaith.org. If you have questions concerning soul salvation or requests for literature, then you may email Bishop Patterson at bishop@theapostolicfaith.org. Again, that email is bishop@theapostolicfaith.org. Time we'll invite you now to lend an ear to hear the word of God as it's preached in its fullness by the Apostle of Jesus Christ, Bishop Anthony J. Patterson. The next speaking voice will be that of the Apostle, Bishop Anthony J. Patterson.
Just fight. Don't even lag behind. You'll be glad God had a firing line. When you see the soldier help to win. A lot of folk are cowards. God don't want a coward in the army. He might run at the wrong time. Just mess up all kinds of things. But if you will win for the Lord and right, you just stay on the firing line. You be ready to fire at any time. Y'all woke Sergeant Major up. He knows about being ready to fight the warfare. Bishop Johnson sung the song concerning fighting for souls. Yes. We are fighting now a warfare for his labor. Yes. And we cannot now give up and run. Amen. We've turned this battle to the gate. Yes. And we're going to push. With the help of the Lord, we know everything is going to be all right. Thank the Lord for the souls that came. But saying so, I'm determined to make it. Amen. I thank God for all of the labor of all of them that died in faith. Because our names are now written in the book. That we believe God by faith. We believe God is going to give us the victory in all things because he's already done that. Thank God the church is hearing the good news, but I'm sure the enemy is not finished yet. He's not going to lay down and say, all right. You know he makes a mess of things. When he's in it, when he's on his way out, he just makes a mess of things. That's why a lot of people's souls are in trouble. They haven't taken the time to understand the sacrifice that God has made to make them free, and all they got to do is obey it. All you got to do is say, what must I do to be saved? That question alone will fix all the issues. But folks won't ask that question. Of the right person that can answer it. Amen. They'll ask another unbeliever. But in this church, a saint talks to another saint. Amen. And we get results when a saint talks to a saint. You make Gabriel start talking over here. You get the answer to prayer over here. But along with all of the good that God has, we don't receive good all the time. Sometimes just plumb evil. A word they use to be strong. Say, now you just plumb crazy. But with this divine plan that God has given us, if you just ask us one question, what must I do? I can answer what you must do. Will not tell you to raise your hand and make a decision. The decision has already been made. You just need to obey it. Amen. And that is to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ. There you will find the remission of sin. You'll find the reason why he died. Why he shed his precious blood is so that he could live in you. This great sacrifice. The church now understands that's why the gospel get preached, to reconcile folks from sin to God. My job is to turn you from darkness to light. Amen. And from the power of Satan to God. Amen. That's what I'm supposed to do. Amen. And that's what I'm going to do. My job is to tell you. Your job is to obey it. And if you don't do it, then you're going to have the destruction that was written about you in the book. And the beautiful thing about this thing is God hasn't stopped writing. Amen. Folks think just because this last book got connected to these others that God stopped writing. Of course not. We'd be a fool to think God's going to shut up now. And he's supposed to be living in folks, and all of a sudden he's not saying anything no more. Somebody's living what the word prophesied about. He said the prophets were unto John. My God, what is he doing now? He's giving the church prophecy that John them just wanted to look into. My God wanted to see this evening time of the church where somebody connected to them through thousands of years, they find the same Christ that they found that walked with them. He's now walking in us. So if you ask us what you must do to be saved, we'll tell you. Someone was getting to me about what their preacher said. They said, you don't preach and teach like the people in the world. Well, I'm not supposed to. The people in the world don't have the gospel. Amen. Young lady, she was married. She said she didn't take her husband's name. I said, well, God gave you his name. She said, well, don't get me upset if you say that's my husband. Well, you should have been upset when you said I do. That's the time to get upset. You're the one made the mistake. Now, don't blame God. And when his man tell you what you ought to do, don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. But she went to her church, and they had Bible study. And in the Bible study, the preacher brought up the woman that had five husbands. So all of a sudden, I got Bishop Patterson now. With this technology, they didn't wait to write the letter like they used to do, to call. They text. Mm-hmm. There was a lady in the Bible that had five husbands. And I said, keep going. I said, and the one she had now, what did he tell her? That wasn't hers. So I said, that means she had five husbands that was legal. If God to tell her you had five, that means each one of the five must have died for her to get five right. And then after that fifth one died, she wanted another one, but she grabbed up one that she wasn't supposed to. And the Lord said, the one you have now, that husband you got. He said, you told the truth. You ain't got none. She wanted to be honest with the Lord and say, well, I don't have no husband. He said, yeah, you told the truth. But by the way, that one you think you got, that you won't talk about, he ain't yours either. Amen. So when I began to explain the scriptures, and take her to Corinthians where Paul said that a woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. She didn't know that was written. Why didn't my preacher tell me that? Well, your preacher ain't the preacher. Amen. The preacher can't preach unless he be sent to preach. Amen. A lot of folks grab the work and think they can do this, but if God don't build the house, you're laboring in vain. Amen. So she want to know why I don't talk and teach like the interfaith folks. God's gospel is not like theirs. And they pick up the same book that I have, but her preacher going to run from the scriptures that I go to. He going to run from them. The ones I'm running to, he's running from. She said she wanted to fast. The Lord was putting something on her fast. She needed some oil to do some things. You don't take oil to rub on doorknobs. She wanted to bless her house and throw oil over the house. That ain't what oil for. Oil is for souls. You anoint souls. You don't anoint inanimate objects. But oil is for fasting and for the elders to anoint you with oil. For the healing of your body and the fixing of your soul if you got any sins that you need to get washed off. That's what oil is for. So I told her, I said, you have your oil. She thanked me for it. I told her how to anoint her head. how to wash your face and don't tell folks you're fasting. This is not something you broadcast. Once you anoint your head, and then all of a sudden you want everybody to know you fasting. Because you're walking slower, you're walking like you're in molasses. And you just can't get yourself together on your job, and your countenance is down so somebody can say, what's wrong? You say, well, I'm fasting. You might as well go ahead and eat. Because you're not fasting now. You're doing something for the show of men. And you've got your reward, because that person going to say, oh, how nice. And God's going to say, go ahead and eat. So you either want your reward from God or you want it from men. And you just pick yourself up, go along like you normally do, and get some strength from somewhere that you don't appear to be fasting. Then God will get the glory out of the inside when you know if it wasn't for God holding you up, you'll fall at the next step. Amen. But it's those days that you don't even think that it's a fast day, and it's not, and you can go to 8 o'clock and don't even think about food. But soon as you smell that oil, there's something about the stomach that'll say, didn't you just anoint? I'm hungry. And it's just 6:05. And at 6:30, your mind just leaves you that you're even fasting. At 6:30 a.m., you end up making breakfast. Hadn't even thought. I anointed my head 30 minutes ago. That's how crazy the mind is. But if you're thinking on Jesus like I was on this past Friday, I told the Lord Thursday, I need you to do some things for me, and I'm looking for it for tomorrow. And he reminded me that, well, certain things come by fasting and prayer. Oh, Lord. I say certain things come by what you already promised, too. But somehow he wanted the soul to get afflicted. And they already now spoken to me and said, now fret not yourselves, have me feeling good. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers. That had become my theme scripture. And I was feeling so good about that, then the next thing, afflict yourself. Now make up your mind. Either I'm going to not fret myself, or I'm going to afflict myself. But it looks like I had to do both. And I tell you, God did some marvelous things for me. God is true. And this plan of salvation, if anybody want to save themselves, they need to afflict themselves and ask, is there not a prophet of the Lord that I might inquire on what to do? I'll tell you, you can't have your second companion while your first one is living. Amen. But God also wrote what he put together, let no man put asunder. Amen. So when I gave them that, they said, oh, Lord. I say, isn't a judge a man?
Yes, sir.
Can he then tear apart what God done put together by your words?
No, sir.
Next thing. But today looked like they've been running into the temple saying, Lord, I'm here to praise you and thank you throughout eternity. That you brought my feet out of the miry clay. But however, we got some cowards. I was thinking when I saw my older brother, I began to thank God for the walk that my father had. It made me think, before I heard the songs, God has given us a strong, anointed one. And I began to think about Jacob's son, how the one that had the promise wasn't the firstborn, but it was Judah. Amen. So when I thought about George and Gloria's firstborn son, I began to be thankful to God that I can account for his seed. And I began to think about the holy womb that bought us all. And while I was yet sitting, God gave me a vision in my mind. All 13 of his souls across the altar at 22nd and Bainbridge. And the only song I could sing was Stay on the Firing Line. Because when I think about my father took this pleading and he put it on the altar of God, and he said, I'm going to leave this here. I don't know whether it was in his mind, God's mind, or whose mind. He said, I might be gone, but I'm going to leave this here. And I heard him talking. He said, now, Lord, you can't let a lie stand. He says, all of his labor that he believed the truth when he heard Bishop Johnson speak it, he gave up his pride that he had in his parts and his head even. He gave it all up. He was willing to go by himself, even without his wife, to save himself. And he said, you cannot let a lie stand. I believe that you're going to fix it. And he went to the rest. So he can join them in the 11th chapter of Hebrew. I died in faith. Wasn't long before his wife gave up her pride. And she put on her apostolic attire and dressed holy and came this way. There was another song they used to sing in those days. My mom, I guess, took it as a theme song. She said, thank God I'm one of them today. She went to the rest. You can write about her in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, died in faith. Believing that what the man of God had promised was going to come to pass. And here now we're looking at it. We saw it before because we thank God when I was thinking how she led the women in their thimbles. The victory down in our cave in Maryland. How she told the women to pick it up and let's dance and let's shake our thimbles before God for the victory that he has given my son. She can talk like Mary. Because when she saw the sacrifice that I had to make, she said, oh God, my son. She saw it all upon me. I'll never forget it. So I ask God, when you see my older brother, he can sit in my seat because of who he is. He is George's firstborn son. Jacob had to bless his older son. But my God, Jesus, or the Holy Ghost, or God, or whatever you want to call the Spirit, said, but from Judah, the lawgiver, the scepter, I have it. Amen. I came from her womb, but God did something in there that was going to benefit the church. That someone can take my words and say, oh, thou man of God, I'm going to stand on the gospel that you're preaching. Because you're going to get me to God. Amen. And when you get me to God, I'm not going to have to thank you no more. I'm going to thank God for you. One will say, I might not be able to talk like I talk at home. Because they said, if it wasn't for you preaching, I wouldn't know who God is. Amen. But the gospel which you hear me preach is not mine. It belongs to my Father. And my Father and I are one because I've given him all that I am. And I understand your thanking God for me. I thank God today for the womb that brought me forth. It was because of the sacrifice that his seed is here, and the Lord said that his good works would follow. Here we are. So when you are thanking God, I want you to thank God that you obey the gospel. Because I am the first of all of the evening time apostles to have been born in Zion. I'm the first. And the reason I know I am, God told me I was. Bishop Shelton was not born here. Bishop Johnson wasn't born in Zion. God brought him in spiritually. I'm talking about naturally born. It was a prophecy by Bishop S. McDowell Shelton. He said the one coming after him would have been born here. And here I am. And because of that great sacrifice that my parents made to come into the truth, I can see how God was bringing this thing to pass. So when you say fight, this apostolic way is my heritage. That's all I know. I read about and I studied other religions, but it was nothing like this. And I had, as a child, I had a man of God that could tell me, don't stray. When I even contended with him to do something in the natural, he had God over me saying, not so. Not knowing what God was going to do, but he knew. And he told me, son, don't do what's in your mind. And you know how sometimes your mind say, you might as well go and do it and just repent later. And that's a terrible way to be. Because you don't know whether or not once you do the thing that God is going to give you a heart to repent. But I obeyed. And I tell you, it's the best thing that I've done in my life was to obey. Because God then can use an obedient soul to tell others, look, I've sacrificed my life for you. At least you can sacrifice your crazy life for yourself and save yourself. If God can die, at least you can just do is obey what he said for you to do to save yourself. So you say, when I'm home, I can talk like I want. And I ain't got nobody to shut me down. I see now I'm going to have to visit you at home. But when that speech comes out, I understand that I'm thankful to God by whom I heard the gospel. I understand that the word said, I begot you by the gospel. I understand I became your father in the gospel. I understand you say we want to do something because you are our father in the gospel. But however, this father rather turn you to the one of heaven. And I want you to give the breath. You say, every breath, if I'm dying, I'm going to give the last one to God. Amen. I'd rather you give the speech to him. Because when you get to glory, you ain't going to be looking, trying to find me to thank me. I'm going to have your speech already ready. Say, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Because if you consider the gospel that I've given you, when you get to glory, it's going to be the same thing you're going to hear. For all of those souls that disobeyed this gospel, this voice you heard, is going to be the same thing when you get there. And you won't be thanking me. That's this flesh and blood. But it's that hidden man that's in here. But I understand the speech. But I want your speech ready for him. The world don't know the gospel. But it's when you hear the preacher, you hear God. And that's why it's such a beautiful thing, even at home, for me to hear. I'm thanking God for the mouthpiece, for that inkhorn writer that's writing on the table of my heart those good things. That makes me think about, really, I was nothing, but he had a thought of me and turned me to him. Amen. I thank God for when you go home that you even have a speech that you remember me. Because I could feel George Edwards saying, stay on the firing line. It hasn't been an easy fight. But God knows prayer has gone up for this church. Some have not ceased in prayer. And sometimes I can wake up at an hour and check it and know that somebody's on their watch. And that's the time I can rest. In the early morning is when I can, when that 6 o'clock hour run around, I know some early birds are up. And I can just check the speech and get some rest. We got it covered. And the scripture told us to be ye also ready, and we are ready now. We were ready yesterday. Amen. We were ready then. But in the prayer and the thanksgiving, I hear now is just not when I come to worship that I have a mouth full of thanksgiving. I'm thanking God at home. I'm thanking God on my drive. I'm thanking God at my desk. When an issue come about my job, I'm thanking God that I got a job that I can thank him for. Amen. This Thanksgiving, if you can just consider the joy God have when you see the victory in this, can you imagine what it's going to be when your feet get into Jerusalem? When the elder began to pray and began to talk to the church and encouraged the church, he started at the head of God, both of them, start talking to God, and thereby got a hold to the church all the way to the feet and said, take off that natural thing and touch something that's holy. Take off that natural stuff that you put on to hide yourself and just be free. One time we caught a man of God, nothing on, praising and thanking God. Took off all that natural stuff and had gone back before we messed up at the Garden of Eden and didn't have to hide in front of God. But somehow the prayer got to the feet, just take off that and just touch something that is holy. And some saints can tell you, I laid down my natural body and I start talking to God, and the next thing I know is me and Jesus. Amen. And I hear the saints speech say, when I begin to pray, how the Holy Ghost just take over, and he's about to give us what he's been talking about all these ages. I believe God is about to put Selah to the conclusion of this matter. Because he said, I got to pray. And oh, thou man of God, I have not ceased to remember you told me to pray. And I'm communing with God when I'm praying, and oh, Father of heaven. And my God, it comes down today. Take your shoes off and just stand on this place that's holy. And the Lord said soon, the foundation that Johnson laid, 22nd in Bainbridge. Sammy said, take your shoes off. When I get there, it's going to be take your shoes off, because we're going to shout all over. It's my desire that every saint step on that altar with me in your feet. God gave it to us today. When I anointed to be the place that it was built for, let all the saints stand on holy ground. Take off that natural life and just put your feet. I'm going to walk, walk, walk in Jerusalem. I want you to see that your prayers were answered. And I can take your life and join you to Hebrews. We believe that the world was framed by the word of God. We believe that we had hard trials, but I am free at last. At last I am free. I want you to come where I'm bound. I remember how you told the Lord what you wanted. If you don't mind me taking a page out of your writings, how good God's been to you. Come with me. I want you to come with me and stand where God spoke to the world that drew your soul in. I want you to come where I'm bound. Peradventure, that's the day that Nehemiah said we can step on. We'll all be in place that we'll go from the sacrifice altar and the Lord will snatch us up. We'll leave from the place where the last trump shouts out and we'll go up to meet the Lord. The ceiling won't prevent us. We'll pass right through, because I have the scepter and it won't depart from me until I get you to God. I want you with me, because when God burned down the first, he rebuilt. And the truth of the gospel came from over that wood. And just like I gave you his blood and his flesh, I want you to walk up into the halls of wisdom to know what it is to be a sacrifice, to stand on God's altar and put yourself there and say, here am I, Lord. Peradventure, we're leaving. Peradventure, the sky is about to crack. When it gives him up, the earth has to give us up. So let's take off our shoe, because we're on holy ground. And we got to hear the voice of God. If he got to speak to us from a burning bush. Your sacrifice has not gone unnoticed. Your prayer started with God, and it's going to end in God. I want you with me, because you suffered with me. All these years you suffered along with me. The days we had joy together. The day the Lord blessed one, he blessed us all. So let's stand on the altar together, so you'll be able to understand the sacrifice that every anointed one that's walked on there for your sake that embrace pain for your sake, you can embrace what it is to be on the sacrifice altar for God. Come where I'm bound. I often think how Bishop Johnson died in a foreign country. Bishop Shelton did his last message from that altar. Nehemiah then died in a foreign country. So what order you think I'm on? I'm taking you with me. The prophecy was I would get you in. I pray you're looking at God. So I sent my older brother in my seat because of who he is. I give honor and respect to who he is. But I have the scepter. But I know who he is. God built this man's house on the order of 13, but he built it on 12 because I'm not included. I'm just like Jesus walking with the 12 apostles. I got to go from this. That's a natural thing. I step out as a spiritual thing because the scepter is with me. But the 12 can still be complete because the seven sons got the thing complete. Simon spoke of this. But I had to step out because of who I was going to be. The fight that I would have to fight. So yet, while I'm yet praying, God sent somebody to talk to me. The one that said, I'm at the throne of God. And come to find out the voice is my own. But in that day they needed Gabriel. But I can go up for myself. Because the middle wall, the wall that partitioned that, don't need Gabriel to come down now. I can go up. Said, I want to thank you. How you found mercy in my frame to call me to this gospel of reconciliation. Now let's mend some things. Let's get rid of all that they did against us and forgive them all. And turn them to God. And let God be the one that judged them in the end. Come where I'm going. I thank God that while I'm yet praying, God, I'll give you the knowledge and the skill for what you must do. Bring them all. Let everybody's feet just stand. You never get this opportunity again, but let's take it now. And let your frame soak up the spirit of them that walked back and forth, preaching the gospel, dying on their feet, so that you could be saved, to understand how the gospel will hold you no matter what happens in your life. The gospel will come to you and make you say, I'm free. I want you to come and stand with me. I want your joy to be full. Because Nehemiah said it won't be Shelton going back. It's George Edwards' name going back. It's his seed. It is his seed that God found favor to hold his church until he come for it. It's what it is. That's what you can see. I'm going to walk now. And I want you to come thou with me. All that the enemy is trying to do
to get your eye to get off of God, you keep looking at God. You keep praying. Because while I'm yet speaking, something is going to speak to you. While you're yet praying, you might not know to call me Gabriel. But I have a name here. I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose it. But when we get where we're going, I'll know you. And you'll know me. But when you see me, you'll see Sherrod, Sammy, Nehemiah, Peter. We'll all look the same. And you'll see us holding up the church. John saw us. Thank me when we get there. Your speech is going to be to God. When all this is peeled back, only thing that will be standing here is God. And he'll just take another body if he don't come and just fill it and stand here in front of you and say, continue thou. While I was just speaking in prayer.
Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer.
God sent something to me.
Even the man Gabriel.
Even Gabriel came down like a man.
Whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning.
I had seen him before.
Being caused to fly swiftly.
Get to me quick.
Touch me.
Hallelujah to God.
About the time of the evening.
Say now. Oblation. Fret not yourself. Came down and spoke to me. Said,
and he informed me.
Fret not yourself.
And talk.
Don't think of evildoers. I've done this to show my power. Fret not yourself. Holy Ghost, come down. Say, when I get finished, you won't be displeased. So don't even fret yourself. Don't even be envious. While I'm yet praying, send a spirit to me. Come down to give me something.
And he informed me.
Made me understand. Gave me the information from God. Informed
me. With me.
Talk with me. Fret not yourself.
Said, oh, Daniel, I've now come forth.
I come forth now.
To give thee skill and understanding.
How to get this thing started.
Yes, Lord.
I want to tell you what I want you to do now. How are we going to get back? Unless God gave some skill to the church. Don't do this. Go shut up everything. No matter where they are, shut it up. Tie up everything. Come down now.
I've come forth.
To give you some skill.
To give thee skill and understand.
And they tell you what you can't do. Now I want you to prove that I did all these things at your word. I'm giving you the skill
and
the understanding, the knowledge of the thing.
At the beginning of thy supplication.
When you started praying at first,
the commandment came.
Go.
And I'm come to show thee
what this is all about.
For thou art greatly beloved.
I know I am. He said that you would have this for me.
Amen.
When he came to me, he said they'll esteem you in love.
Amen.
He started talking from Thessalonians to me.
I've come to show thee.
I come to show thee something.
For thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter.
He's talking to you.
And consider the
business. Mr. Yerrick, he said he's talking to you. He's come down to give it to us. God is going to give it to us. He's going to prove you are his people. And he's going to prove I'm his anointed one with one eye. I thank God for the sacrifice my parents made. They didn't need the other 12, but they got them. I want you to come with me. Because we haven't had all of this sorrow together in vain. All of the pain in vain. It's time for our joy to be just as heightened as our lowest sorrow was. There must be an equalizing of all of those.
Yeah.
Daniel began to count weeks.
70 weeks.
Daniel began to say what's going to happen. Someone said, count the years as months. Count months like weeks. Count weeks like days. Any day now. This is coming to a close. But the sacrifice that was made to end the sin has come already.
Made an
end to sin. He got the victory over sin coming out of the ground. And he turned back to the church and said, like manner, follow me. Come with me. As long as you can see my staff, follow me. We'll come from the right hand. We'll open the gate and come from the left hand. My God, the priests will come from the front. They'll corner the saints and keep the saints safe. My God, they'll grab their corners and say, don't let no harm come to your people. Bless your people. Somebody's going to be talking to God.
Thank you, Lord.
You're going to get on their knees. Take off your feet. The shoes off your feet. The ground where you're going to stand. It's holy. Why is it holy? That's where the voice of God came from. The voice of God started coming. My God, when Johnson stood there, the voice of God started coming. But it wasn't until Samuel said, take your shoes off. God gave it to him. And God took off everything. Started dancing before the Lord. Took us back to the garden when we had no problems like that. Came across Peter and them out. They said, gird yourself. They ain't have on nothing.
That's right.
They had to put on something. They were out there just thanking God. Just doing what they... But they said, here come the master. Guide yourself. Let's get ready. My God, and don't tell me what we're going to have to do.